From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Maureen McCollum. Today's Olympic Games feature athletes from all over the world, from all walks of life. But when the modern Olympics began more than 100 years ago, the competitors were not as diverse. It wasn't until the 1904 Games in St. Louis, Missouri, when the first African-American won a medal. La Crosse native George Pogue competed in four events and won the bronze in the 200 and 400-meter hurdles. The triumph followed many other accomplishments in his life. He held high school track records in La Crosse and was the first African-American on UW-Madison's track team. UW-La Crosse retired Special Collections Librarian Ed Hill has spent years researching Pogue. He first talks about the scholar-athlete's upbringing.
Came up from Hannibal, Missouri with his family, and we're not quite sure what triggered that move, except that later on his mother and father worked for the Easton family, who were a prominent local family, lived on Cass Street. And the Eastons had property down the river, including at Hannibal. They had land all over the place. So we think that may have been the connection, that the Eastons encouraged James Pogue, the father, to come up to work here. So we don't know absolutely, as is often the case, why somebody moves from this place to that place. But they did come up in 1884. George was born in 80, so he was just 4 years old. They lived in several places around La Crosse, and worked in several areas, mostly as domestic servants. Eventually, just a few years later, the family moved over to what I can call the Easton Complex. There was a house, big house for Jason Eastman, another one for Lucien, a lot of outbuildings, and we think the family lived in one of those outbuildings in domestic quarters of some kind.
Maybe to add a little context, can you explain what life was like for an African-American family in La Crosse in the late 1800s?
There were a few other blacks in La Crosse. There were the Moss family, which goes way back in La Crosse history to the 1840s. And they were mostly barbers in the early years, as were a number of other black residents. The question came up at a meeting recently about what kind of discrimination such a family might have encountered in La Crosse, and that's difficult for us to measure. I don't doubt that there was discrimination, but my impression is that the Easton family especially was very good to the Pogue family. They had a library, and it looks to us like George and the other members of the family, or the children, were given some access to that library, and the Eastons, they were, to some extent, benefactors. They were not only employers, they were benefactors, and I think looked after the Pogue family. Now, when Pogue was only 7 years old, his father died, a sister died, and a brother died. That would have been difficult. And his father had been, he worked with the horses and wagons and outdoor activities for the Eastons. The mother is described in one source as a laundress or as a maid. So she was a domestic servant, not the only one by any means. Most of the domestic servants in those years were, in fact, girls of Scandinavian origin. But anyway, George must have been favored somewhat by the family. He came out of that knowing more, with more experience, and with more sense of direction than many children his age would have been. But in terms of discrimination, there would have been some. Their opportunities for advancement, I think, would have been quite limited.
And George Pogue was integrated into the school system, and he was celebrated for being quite the scholar.
Yes, he was. Now, schools were smaller in those days. He attended what was La Crosse High School, and that school was located where the apartment complex called Washburn on the Park, near the public library. That was located there. That was La Crosse High School, the only La Crosse High School. And the classes were small. He was the only black of his class. His younger sister, Nellie, also attended school. But he was the salutatorian of his class, that is, second-ranked in his graduating class. He was regarded as a bright student. He gave a presentation at the graduation ceremony, which was applauded and well-received. And somewhere along the line, as they say, he got aspirations. It's my belief, and it's only a hunch, that Anna Pogue, his mother, was a remarkable woman. She brought those kids up in the right way. She pointed them in the right direction with, I think, some help from the Eastons. But she held that family together after her husband died. Two of her children died. And George went on and did well, and his sister Nellie also did well. She graduated from a black college in Missouri. So these were, for the times, unusual aspirations and unusual achievements. And, of course, he was a wonderful track star right from the beginning. He ran like the wind.
And was it normal for most students to also be athletes, or do you think that he or others around him realized his running abilities early on?
He was described in one place as running everywhere. He ran. He loved to run. I don't think that was common at the time, although athletics were important in local schools, as they are now. And there was a track team. He was on it. And he went all over the state. I keep running into places where that track team competed. One of them was in Rice Lake, Wisconsin, for example. It shows up in a local paper there. But he was the star. And I think everybody recognized him, and the local papers frequently mentioned him as one of the fastest men in the world.
There was a line from the paper in 1913 that called him the greatest track athlete that was ever developed in this city.
Yes, yes, I think that's true. I don't know of any others. Faster times will have been run in the meantime. Everything moves faster. Look at the Olympic achievements now from what it was 100 years ago. And everything is faster. We have maybe people are healthier, the competition is stronger. But George was a remarkable student and a remarkable athlete, and it was recognized. And, of course, he went on. He graduated in 1899 from La Crosse High School and went on to UW-Madison and got a bachelor's degree there.
I think he was the first black athlete to run on UW-Madison's track team.
And he was a star runner there, too. He rose to the top wherever he was.
So after his time in Madison and as a UW student, here come the 1904 Olympics. I'm wondering if you can talk about how exactly he was able to compete at the Olympics.
In those times, I hope it doesn't still occur, outside organizations had a major role in placing athletes in competition. One of those organizations was the Milwaukee Athletic Club. And two or three people connected with the Milwaukee Athletic Club, the MAC, sponsored George's enrollment in the 1904 Olympics. In fact, there are photographs showing him wearing a jersey that says MAC. We wouldn't do that now. It might be something like Coca-Cola.
But, yeah, I was going to say maybe Nike or Adidas.
Or Nike, yeah, or Adidas. So this was not unusual for the time. And he would have needed a sponsor, really, to get in at that level of competition. But there were a number of, there was one other black runner that competed and medaled. But George, we believe, according to the Olympic histories, was the first black Olympic medalist. It might have been only an hour or two ahead of the other one, but he was the first.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Today, we're talking about George Pogue, a La Crosse native who was the first African-American to medal at the Olympics. He received a bronze in the 200 and 400-meter hurdles at the 1904 Games in St. Louis. I'm talking with UW-La Crosse retired special collections librarian Ed Hill about Pogue's life. Competing in the 1904 Olympics in St. Louis, how big of a deal was this for a black athlete at the time?
It would have been a big deal. There were very few black athletes in that Olympics. This is only 8 years after the introduction of the modern Olympiad. It began in 1896 after a long gap between classical Greece and later. So things were still getting organized, things were still rough, and the 1904 Olympics were held in conjunction with the 1904...
The World's Fair.
The World's Fair commemorating the Louisiana Purchase. So that all ran in conjunction. They were fairly close to each other on the grounds there, and there were blacks who boycotted that event because the public stands, the viewing stands, were segregated. And some of the blacks who would have been there refused to participate. They boycotted it, and they asked George to boycott. But given his background, where he came from, he was never involved in a controversy involving race, as far as we know. And some of his major supporters and friends were white people. So I think he felt, given his sponsorship and his background, that he needed to participate in this event.
And then he went on and competed in four different events at the Olympics.
Yes.
And he did quite well.
Yeah, he did very well. Yeah, he was, he got beat out in some of the races. One of the longer races, I know he kind of ran out of steam partway through the race. But he did compete, and he medaled twice.
He got the bronze in the 200 and 400 meter hurdles.
And it set him up on a national stage, really, although a lot of Olympians even now are stars for two or three years and we never hear from them again. And that was the case of him. He was a modest man, I think. And at that time, you didn't get corporate sponsors to carry the flag for some particular brand or product. And as far as I know, he never competed except perhaps in some local races again.
You called him modest, and in the UW yearbook, with his senior picture in 1903, he was in the class in 1903, underneath his picture it said, of matchless swiftness, but of silent pace.
Yes.
So that goes along with?
That does. This is a line from the Iliad, and is referring to one of the major characters there. And he studied the classics in Madison, so he would have been familiar with this. He was very well educated. He knew several languages. He was well-versed in the classics. I don't know whether somebody gave him that line in the yearbook or whether he said, I want this to appear with my name. My hunch, it was the latter.
Do we have any other indication about what his time was like at the Olympic Games, besides winning two medals? Is there any other historic record about his time in St. Louis?
I have not encountered any, and as far as I know, Dr. Waters and Dr. Mauser have not seen this either.
The other two who are, the three of you are considered scholars on George Pogue.
Yes, that's flattering. Thank you. yes, Bruce and I did a paper more than 20 years ago. There was a National Sports History Conference here at UWL, and we presented that paper, which was our first real compilation of George Pogue and his contribution as a scholar athlete. And from there, we were both collecting things wherever we could find it, and Bruce had a lot of material, and Dr. Waters came in later. He was more interested, I think. Well, he's interested in Pogue's life, of course, but he's done a lot of work tracing relatives over the years who are still out there. They would be great nieces and great nephews, and there are papers out there. The medals, temporarily at least, have disappeared. I was in communication with a niece and a nephew who would be deceased by now, who told me they had his medals and his track shoes. And I very much wanted the new recreation center to be named for him, but whoever the authorities were gave us only 2 weeks for the students to come up with a name, and the students went for Eagle Recreational Center. And if I'd had another week, I know I could have got to the student government, and my student assistants were out there. They were promoting it. We could have got that done. That could have been the George Pogue Recreation Center, which would have been a wonderful thing to have that.
But we do now have Pogue Park in the city of La Crosse.
We do.
Can you talk about the efforts to rename Hood Park to Pogue Park?
I don't know that I know all the background of it, except that Bruce and I have been pushing that for a long while, and some other people have too. This city needs to honor this man. Here's a man who, he was an Olympic medalist, and without laying too heavy a hand on racism, I think if that had been a white athlete, there would be a street or a park or a school or something named for him. So we felt high time to do this, and we talked to a number of people, and there were others who were agitating and supporting of this, and the head of the Parks Department, Steve Carolyn, hired Margaret Lichter to put a package together to promote this idea, and she used the research that the three of us had done and didn't add anything to that, but she did do a history of Hood Park, and the history of that is not well known. It's had several other names, but it's in a neighborhood that the city is very interested in for revitalization. And once the idea was presented to the residents down there for renaming, they went for it in a big way. I mean, first of all, they knew the city was willing to put some money in and redevelopment down there and make this a better area for children in the neighborhood and revitalize the neighborhood. And this was a good way to do it. And the Lichter book was presented to the city council for approval to rename the park. They went for it almost unanimously. So that's the way it went. Now, George Pogue and his family never lived in that neighborhood. They lived in several other places, but as far as we know, not right down there. But here was an opportunity to honor one of La Crosse's own in a way that will help the whole neighborhood and the whole city and get this recognition at long last accomplished.
At the time when George Pogue was competing in the Olympics, when he was competing at UW-Madison, was he getting much recognition for his accomplishments in lacrosse?
His name would appear in local papers sometimes if he did well in a track event on the Madison track team, but the city kind of lost track of him. And, of course, he did not come back except to visit. He moved on out beyond Madison and took a job. He moved to St. Louis, where he taught in a couple of high schools, including Sumner, which was an all-black high school.
Why do you think it's important to remember someone like George Pogue today?
To me, he represents what youth ought to be doing, how they ought to be handling their lives. And I see him as a role model, and I think the city intends to emphasize this aspect as a role model of somebody who was born into very modest circumstances in a minority race, and achieving all this, achieving local stardom, really, and Madison stardom, and then Olympic stardom, here's something that people, kids, can relate to. Look what he did. And he didn't just run. He got really good grades. You can do this.
And as an important figure in Olympic history, is it important to remember him for that as well?
Oh, yes, sure. And I think there are going to be more markers coming along. There's going to be a plaque down there. I don't know what else. I'd like to see a street named for him. I don't know whether that will happen. But local teachers, and I know the teachers at Hamilton School, are very interested in taking this local person who achieved all of this and talk about it in their classes. And that would be a wonderful thing.
Ed, is there anything else you want to talk about or anything else we're forgetting when it comes to the life of George Pogue?
Perhaps the fact that he died, again, a modest man. I have a hunch he was shy. I don't have any real sense of what I will call his voice. What was he really like? What were his real interests? What would he have been like to talk to? I don't have a good handle on that. Eventually, he ended up in Chicago, worked, I think, for a restaurant for a while, and then worked for quite a number of years for the U.S. Postal Service, and died in 62. He died in very modest
circumstances. He would have been in his 80s.
Yeah, yeah. He died in modest circumstances. He still had, and again, I look at that family connection. He was close to his sister, he was close to his mother, and he was close to his nieces and nephews. One of his nephews, the son of Nellie, his sister, was an attorney with the National Labor Relations Board in Washington. And his niece did very well. She married well and very successfully in the St. Louis community. And I talked to them both some years ago. They were very gracious in what they said about George Pogue, that he was a wonderful uncle. And that's a side that, from our angle, looking at documents, we don't see.
UW La Crosse retired Special Collections Librarian Ed Hill was talking about George Pogue, a La Crosse native who was the first African-American to medal at the Olympic Games. Thanks for listening to Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, I'm Maureen McCullum. Our production team includes John Gatto, Mary Meehan Stroob, and our senior producer, John Davis. To hear archives of this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at wpr.org/newsmakers. There, you'll also find extended interviews and George Pogue's UW-Madison team photo. And if you'd like to comment on our program, or if you have a suggestion for future shows, you'll also find links to our producers and staff. That and more at WPR.org/newsmakers. You can also find Newsmakers on Facebook, updates on future shows, links to our archives, and more. Like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers.